on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield IMG College, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up, and welcome to it. It's another edition of YokeCast. Great to have you alongside for this one, and we certainly appreciate you listening each and every week, each and every episode, as we try to educate you more and more on Coyote athletics, whether that's getting to know athletes or coaches or just understanding some of the things that maybe coaches are doing with programs. And of course, always our conversations with David Herbster. It's a lot of fun to put this together and have all of these conversations. And of course, we wouldn't be able to do it without you tuning in and listening each and every week. You know, last week was an interesting week in Summit League basketball. I had a lot of questions when it came to the Summit League and why the league wasn't adjusting. Maybe we were talking about because, you know, there were cancellations last week, I guess is what I'm getting at. There were cancellations, and that's not going to be the last time that we see cancellations in the league, right? South Dakota had the weekend off. South Dakota State at Omaha was canceled. And then you also had Kansas City and Western Illinois canceled last week. And so the thought was, now we have five teams sitting at home. If it's due to COVID, it's likely knocking out two of those. So now three available teams sitting at home. Why isn't the league adjusting the schedule and putting some of these teams together? So if you listened to our episode Monday night of the Coyote Report or last week's episode of YoteCast, I asked that question to Todd Lee, Don Plitzewhite, and David Herbster. David Herbster was on last week's episode of YoteCast, and then Monday night I talked about it with both Don Plitzewhite and Todd Lee. And really, I got kind of an interesting response. When you look at the coach's response, their thought process is it's difficult, right? Especially if you are preparing for a bye week, you've already adjusted your week. And I'll tell you one thing, if you haven't figured this out yet, coaches don't like to have their schedule change too much, right? They like to set their schedule. They don't like any adjusting on it, and they just want to go with it because they feel like you get your team into a routine, and that's how they're going to perform the best. And they do a lot of reading up on studies of things like this, and that's why there's a schedule. There's a schedule of games. There's a schedule of practice. There's a schedule of when you show up for games. There's a schedule of when you eat. Yes, they eat at specific times based on tip-off time, because studies show that the nutrients from your food and the energy from your food will be at a max performance at a specific time. I'm not making this up. I'm not even smart enough to make this up. But they like to be on schedule. So when you begin the week planning for a bye week, let's say you give your athletes Monday off or Tuesday off or whatever it may be, and then you're going to get into the flow of things. It's difficult maybe on Wednesday to adjust all of that, and now you have a hectic schedule and put a game together. Because the question is, why isn't the Summit League putting games together of teams that are off? And it would seem to make sense in my mind. And then if you think back to last week's conversation with David Herbster, he said that the league isn't mandating it. The league's leaving it up to the coaches and athletic directors. Well, here's the thing. I just told you about coaches' schedules. They're not going to want to adjust on the fly too often throughout the season. And if the athletic directors were to just step in and say, we're going to have to go play this game or that game or whatever it may be, guess who's in trouble with the coaches? So it's a vicious cycle. And the only way that you actually get this done is if the league steps in and chose to do something. If the league decided they were going to make these game adjustments, because then the athletic director and the coaches can say, this is what's been handed down to us. This is what we have to do. And they may not like it necessarily, but that's the situation. So if you're wondering, there's minimum number of games we have to reach. We have to get to 13 games to be eligible for postseason. Plus, you have to play at least half of your games in your conference. So South Dakota men and women, to this point, when we're having this conversation right now going into Western Illinois, has played four conference games. It's important that the Coyotes find a way to get four more conference games in here throughout the season. As you get ready for conference tournament, you get ready for postseason, whatever. Obviously, we would love to get all the games in, right? I'm in favor of that. You are in favor of that. We have to get to eight games, half of your league games. That at least has been the understanding that everybody else seems to have. So that's what we're aiming for. 13 total games, but eight, half of your, I shouldn't say eight, it's eight for the Summit League, half of your conference games to be eligible for postseason. All right, enough of that. Let's get to today's show. And today is a little bit different. We are going to talk to David Herbster because we do that each and every week, most weeks, and really appreciate his time and the conversation that we can have with him because this week, obviously, there's a lot going on. When will we see a Missouri Valley Football Conference schedule? Last week, the Missouri Valley Football Conference had a statement on Indiana State, and the statement read that they were planning on an eight-game schedule. Well, if Indiana State's taken off of USD's schedule, that's seven games. That would suggest they're going to rework the schedules. So we talked to David Herbster about that. Obviously, the no-fan attendance at the Summit League tournament that was announced last week, and we'll get into some of that. But what's different about this week is we are going to have two student-athletes on the show today. And we talked to Ethan Bray. He is a high jumper at USD. And I know that high jump lately in men's high jump has been really, really revolved around Chris Nielsen. Ethan Bray is really, really good. And he has been continuing to get better while Chris Nielsen has had the spotlight on him. So if you've really paid attention, you know Ethan Bray is a very, very good vaulter. And we get the chance to talk to him. We also will bring in Lola Weideman. She is a volleyball player for USD. The Coyotes begin their season this weekend at Missouri State against Wichita State and Missouri State. So we'll have that conversation on the way as well. We start our episode with David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. David, I know we've been talking about the time coming up where it's going to, we've been saying it's going to get busy here over the next few months, and feels like that's coming on now. Volleyball gets started this week. We've had swimming and diving get their season started. Track and field is underway. Basketball clearly underway. We'll see football and all the other sports join here very, very soon. So I would imagine right now around the athletics department, things, is it the calm before the storm right now, or is it already hectic?
You know what, I would say it's already hectic, and whether it's, you know, started off by hosting, you know, this past weekend, a track meet and the swim meet, where they overlap each other, but it's also been all of our facilities in full use with the practice and training by all of our teams for their championship part of their season. You know, this time of year, we've usually got three or four teams that this is just kind of the spring training, if you will. Spring ball, and that's not the case anymore. Everybody is in full go for a competition, and now we're at that point where it's just not basketball that's playing, with track and swimming kicking off this past weekend and every weekend from here on out. And you know, by the time we get into February, it's really going to hit to where teams not only traveling to compete, but then the whole host of events that are now going to be on campus are all going to happen. So might be just the first wave, but those big ones aren't that far down the road.
And it all comes very, very quickly, sooner than most people are ready for them. You know, late last week, the Summit League announced that there would not be any fans allowed at the Summit League basketball tournaments this upcoming season. The venue has changed from the Premier Center to the Sanford Pentagon. None of this comes to a surprise, I think, for most people. I'm sure some are disappointed in the news, but it is very real now that an announcement has been made and some changes just given the time that we're in.
You know, yeah, we talked about it a little bit, didn't we? I mean, I'm not surprised, I am disappointed by it. But I also realize that we have to give ourselves the best opportunity to be able to play all of the games over the course of those 4 days. And this being one of those areas where we can control, right? And so both from an AD's perspective and certainly the other ones, you know, it's the presidents that, you know, really look hard on evaluating that, because everybody's dealing with this issue on their campuses. And so while sometimes it's a challenge to see, there's some of us in the league that are allowing fans, there's still some in this league that are not allowing fans. And we realize that everybody is going to come into the Summit League tournament. This has become an event, right? And so people will circle this one on their calendar. And, you know, we've got alumni that are coming from North Carolina, or they're coming from California. And this is kind of a family weekend. You know, if it's a D-Days and it's a Summit League tournament weekend. And so we also acknowledge and recognize that people are coming from all over the country, oddly enough, for this tournament, and just really for the safety of, you know, certainly the student athletes and our ability to play those games, but then the fans themselves. Caution was the approach that was taken. And then, you know, if we're going to play in front of no fans, in essence, the move to the Pentagon was the next topic that was discussed. And it, that's, you know, they did a really good job hosting the basketball tournaments early in November. Certainly our women playing in one of those and our men playing in one of those. So they run a really good operation there. And it was probably the next best option for us if we were not going to play in front of fans. So certainly not where we want to be at this point in time, but we'd all rather make sure that we get the championships off and then be able to have our champion go on to the NCAA tournament.
Also last week, one thing we did talk about was Indiana State opting out of the football season for the spring, and we talked a little bit about that. But then after our conversation, I believe it was Friday, the Missouri Valley Football Conference released a statement saying that they were committed to an 8-game schedule. That would suggest that the football schedules will be changing, or there could be some adjustments to that. Where are we at as far as a potential football schedule, or when something new might come out, if that is the case?
No, that's a really good question. Of course, the first person that asked me that is our Bob Nielsen, Coach Nielsen. So to get that sucker, what are we dealing with? Because, you know, the challenge is also going to be changing dates and facilities and people's travel plans, but also travel arrangements could end up being in flux too. So we got a draft of a schedule this past weekend, and we're in the discussions this week on trying to finalize it and work through some of the nuances or some of the little hiccups that have come of it that probably all of us in some fashion or another are trying to respond to. So my hope is that we can have something out yet this week. We're really going to need it, right? Because from a travel standpoint, are we flying the same weekend, or, you know, are hotels still available? And we've got to, you know, manage buses and hotels and planes and all that kind of stuff. So it really has to happen sooner than later. And really just trying to work through some of these last few areas that are really, I think, challenges to the schedule.
I know a lot of people will be looking forward to seeing that. Anytime a schedule comes out, people just get that much more excited for an upcoming sport. Speaking of upcoming games, there's information out about basketball game times changing at USD for home games, really affecting the men's games. And this won't affect the next home weekend against Omaha, but against Oral Roberts and North Dakota State, kind of adjusting game times a little bit and shortening that time between the women's and men's games.
Right. You know, we found that, especially after that first weekend, our ability and our efficiency in turning the facility over, disinfecting the areas that we needed to disinfect and managing the locker rooms, we were able to do that, frankly, quicker than we thought we were going to be able to. And so originally we had kind of utilized the guidance of the NCAA, but we found that, you know, in that window that they gave us, we took the long end of that window, which in reality we found that we can do it a lot quicker than that. So we thought about adjusting the game times for the Omaha series at the end of the month, but all of those season tickets have already been sent out to everybody electronically. And so rather than try to recall those and reissue those and probably, frankly, cause confusion, we decided to wait, but it also gives us another opportunity to really ensure our process and our protocols in changing in between the men's game and the women's game. So the women's games will still start the same. So if it's, let's say, it's a 1 o'clock and a 4 o'clock, now would be a 1 o'clock and a 3:30 for the February games. So I think we learned a little bit, and what we have found is through all the things that we're doing, practicing and training and scheduling, it's so new in some of the things that we've had to institute that we've really had to be really fluid on being able to implement and then evaluate and then change or really pivot if we have to. And so this is a scenario where we feel like we can safely move those game times up an hour and still achieve all of our safety protocols that we have in place.
You know, you started using that phrase fluid situation last March. You're still using it in January.
Don't remind me.
It's amazing, the constant change, but also speaks to the ability to learn and adjust on the fly for a lot of people.
You know, it feels like through all of this, we've been making in-game adjustments every day on the things that we have to deal with. And so I give our staff and our coaches a lot of credit for really embracing that mentality. And as much as anyone, they're the ones that have to deal with that because whether it's dealing with, you know, practice or games or schedules, are constantly having to make adjustments. And that's kind of the nature of the beast in athletics. We've got to be able to really quickly evaluate and determine what types of changes, what's working well, what's not working well, what can we take advantage of, and where are we potentially exposed, and then move and change directions real quickly. So, fluid's a word, adjustments and patience. And, you know, I never thought I'd use the word, you know, protocols as much as I have lately, but that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, no doubt. And of course, all of these adjustments on the fly are all about making the student athlete experience, the fan experience, and everything better for everyone involved. We mentioned home track got underway, or track and field really got their season going last week, had a home meet. They get another opportunity coming up this weekend, so another chance for a little home track and them to get into that competition mode.
Right. It really went well. I think when I came in on Saturday and they're just setting up, and it looked like a normal day for us. And then once competition was going, honestly, it almost looked like a practice, right? Because we really only had those individuals that were competing on the floor. And if you've ever been to the Dome, or if you've ever been to one of our indoor track meets, there's always people all over the floor, right? And we really, if you weren't competing, the athletes, all the track athletes were in the west stands. The family members that came in to watch it were in the east stands, and it was such a clean competition floor that you really could really highlight and really see the individual competitors, whether it was the pole vault or the high jump or the long jump. But even once you got into the races, there wasn't all this distraction of other people kind of wandering around the infield or wandering around, the north or the south ends that kind of clutter up the track. It really, really ran pretty smooth overall. So looking forward to another track meet, and frankly, another opportunity for our track athletes, A, to have a home meet, but frankly, just to be able to have a meet. We only have a handful of meets this year prior to the indoor championship. So each one's pretty important.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Make the most of it and get ready for the indoor championships for track and field, which will be coming up very quickly in about a month's time as well. Coming up this weekend, we get the start of the volleyball season. Obviously, South Dakota volleyball has been very, very good here the last few years, and a continual building program the last several years. But picked first to finish at the top of the league in the Summit League. They'll start some non-conference games this week with Wichita State and Missouri State. Both of those games played in Springfield at Missouri State. But excited to see the volleyball team get into game action coming up this weekend.
You know, we've talked about this before a little bit, but it's, when you get those preseason rankings, they're great. There's something to talk about. It's really a kind of maybe a culmination of your work, not only the past year, but, you know, the past several years. You'd certainly rather be on top than you would be at the bottom. And I think this speaks volumes to our coaching staff and our program to have that type of respect to be picked the preseason number one. But while that's a great honor, now you got to earn it, right? Now you got to go out and really, really work for it, because the target's on your back. And, you know, it doesn't, you know, what the preseason pick is nice, but it really doesn't matter, because you still have to play, in this case, every single match. And you've got to, it's how you finish at the end of the season. So, but it speaks volumes about Coach Williamson, the program, and really where it is and the respect that it has within the league.
Well, we're all looking forward to it and continuing to see Coyote Athletics continue on. Basketball goes to Western Illinois. It'll be nice to get basketball back in the flow of things after a week off this past weekend.
Yeah, you know, they're excited. You know, it's nice. You know, having that week off was really good, but they're just chomping at the bit to go back and play again. And so hop on the road to Macomb, and, you know, it's road games, right? And they're tough. Regardless of where you're playing, regardless if there's fans in the stands, you've got to go on the road. We'll make the drive to Macomb, and we're going to have to battle it out. It's, you know that women's program, Coach Gravina at Western Illinois is very, very well respected and has got a good squad. Wherever anybody's records are right now, it's probably going to turn itself upside down in four weeks anyway. But it's a program that demands a lot of respect. The men's team plays really, really hard, and so another huge challenge for our men's program, and certainly two more on the road that you got to go find a way to string enough buckets together and stop them enough to be able to pull out some victories. And so, just looking forward to playing again. I know they're certainly looking forward to playing again, and you just kind of knock on wood at this time of year that you hope for good weather, that you're there and back and no problems.
Yeah, we'll look forward to a successful Coyote weekend all across the board, wherever teams may be. David, thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it, as always. I know it's busy, so really appreciate your time.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
He's David Herbster, the athletics director at the University of South Dakota. For the past decade, there's only been one place to watch your favorite coaches, players, and teams. That place is Midco Sports Network, celebrating 10 years of sports this season. Ethan Bray is a senior pole vaulter for USD. He hails from Fishers, Indiana, and had the chance to catch up with him and talk to him about his season up to this point, his goals in pole vault, and what brought him to South Dakota. Ethan, you're coming off of a great weekend last weekend at a home event, winning the men's pole vault, and doing so, I think it was by almost a foot that you were able to win there. What was that feeling like to get the season finally going? I know you had that meet a while back at South Dakota State, but to finally get another meet and just get out and compete.
Oh, it was great. It's been so many missed opportunities in the last year or so to compete that it feels great to actually have, you know, plans for competition and stuff like that. And then to be able to come out and start the actual indoor season in the dome was awesome in the first place. But to have the amount of success that I had was just an added bonus. That was the earliest I've jumped that high in my career. So super excited about that.
Yeah, how does that work when you start a season? And obviously you have goals, I would imagine, throughout the course of the season, but you typically want to build up to those goals. You're jumping high early in the season. So as you do that, how does that adjust your goals going forward?
This was kind of always my hope, was to be able to jump around 18 feet at the beginning early on in the season and set myself up in terms of confidence, really, just for the rest of the season going forward. Looking at those higher bars, took attempts at 18.4 on Saturday, and some really good attempts that really I'm excited to try to take some more shots at 18.4, even higher. So, yeah.
Ethan, I want to take a trip down memory lane, and this isn't a good memory. Last year, obviously, you had a tremendous season, and you were prepared for the indoor championships. I think you were ninth in the field, mm-hmm. qualified ninth position going into the championships. Obviously, that was wiped out due to the pandemic. What do you remember about that time and the excitement of knowing that you were headed to the championships and then to find out that that had all been taken away?
It was surreal, to be completely honest. Like when we were in the hotel, I was in the hotel, and we were, me and Zach Anderson and Helen Faldo, we're just frantically searching through Twitter, just constantly updating it, trying to see what kind of what was going out. We had already heard that like the Ivy League had backed out, and we had friends in the Big Ten and the ACC that were being told to pack up their things, that they were going to get on a flight that evening or something like that. So we were just sitting there like watching all this go down, and It was weird. I was speechless. I didn't know what to think the whole time, but it was crazy. But I mean, before that, I was like, even before we had left for Albuquerque, I was set up to jump really high. I was looking forward to competing at the venue that New Mexico uses, which I think is a convention center in Albuquerque. And I've heard great things. They have a really good razor runway that it's nice on the shins and the feet when you're running. So I was looking forward to jumping high, but then, yeah, when we got the news that everything had canceled, it was just like the shock and awe on everybody's faces. Just when we were walking around the hotel, just walking down to go talk to our coach so we could go pick up the poles from the venue before, or to bring them back so we could take them to the airport in the morning.
And obviously, we'll never know what might have happened in those championships. And then shortly after that, it didn't seem like it took long, and the outdoor season was canceled, and the classes, things were adjusted to online and classes. What was that? Just try to describe what a student-athlete was going through at that time as your seasons were being canceled, your classes are changed, and basically everybody being sent home.
Yeah, it was – I mean, so I stuck around in Vermilion, and I lived in a kind of a house with three other guys on the team. And so it was weird because you wanted privacy when you were taking online classes. So you'd stick it around in your room so you could listen to like the lectures and everything like that and participate in them as well. So you wake up and then you eat some breakfast, then you go back into your bedroom, watch the lectures, come out for some lunch, go back in, watch some lectures. And it was just, you're stuck in your house all the time because everybody's on lockdown and nothing's open. And yeah, we weren't even allowed in the dome for a while. So I was training outside at Vermilion High School, trying to just, in the hopes that there might be some meets later on down the line, like even later in the summer that I could compete in. But it was strange. I'd never expected to experience anything like that.
Yeah, and I bet you're like everyone else, and you're fine with never experiencing it again, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, wild time, no doubt about it. You know, obviously you're having a lot of success in pole vault, and you come from Indiana. Fishers, Indiana is your hometown. Ultimately, what led you to South Dakota? Why so far from home, and why was USD a good place for you to pursue the pole vault at the collegiate level?
Yeah, so I had looked at a few other schools, some closer to home, and I had talked to some coaches and taken some visits. But really, it was just kind of the knowledge that my coach, Derek Miles, had when it came to the pole vault. Just the way he talked about it was just like he was all in. It was the passion that I heard in his voice whenever he talked about coaching that really that, and his accolades as three-time Olympian. I didn't know it at the time, but bronze medalist in Beijing. He hadn't even been awarded that when I was recruited. But yeah, it was just hearing how he talked about pole vault really is what drew me here and led me away from the schools closer to home. And I was always more of kind of the independent kid. I'm a middle child, so I was more okay with being on my own. So coming out here didn't really bother me that much. So being about a 10-hour drive away from home wasn't really ever an issue for me.
You know, when you talk about Derek Miles, it's just amazing that USD has a guy like that on staff who's been to a few different Olympics and obviously has had a great career. How much was that a sell to you, knowing where his career had gone in pole vault?
Oh, it was immensely important to my decision. Just he had all the knowledge when it comes to jumping collegiately, jumping post-collegiately, you know, having a successful career. He jumped 19 feet tons of times, and just he knows the pole vault so well that it was an easy decision to choose him over some of the other coaches that I might have talked to.
You know, over the last few years, obviously one of the best to come through USD in the pole vault has been Chris Nilsson, and he's had a lot of success. What was that like to watch him succeed and probably use that as motivation for yourself to continue getting better?
Oh, yeah. Chris Chris pushed me each and every day. He's a natural athlete. He's fast. He's really good at running. And that was something that I had struggled with a little bit. It was kind of like coming in, I wasn't quite as maybe as had the best endurance. So always having him to push me when it came to that was always awesome. And then, I mean, it's funny. I hear some people talk about how crazy seeing a 19-foot pole vault is. And it's just like, well, I saw one almost every week second semesters for like the past 2 or 3 years. So it doesn't seem that crazy to me watching him jump that high. But he's always pushed me when it comes to wanting to jump better, wanting to jump higher and push myself more in our workouts to try and chase him a little bit. So
I'll tell you how high 19 feet is, or how crazy that is I think 6 feet is high for a high jumper. So that's way up there at 19 feet.
Yeah, it's fun to watch, no doubt. But it just like the a lot of people don't see it that often, and that's weird to me because I've seen it as often as I have with him jumping it. So it's just kind of funny hearing other people talk about just the how crazy it is to see that. Yeah.
Where are your goals at in pole vault? I mean, obviously you want to have success in your year at USD and whatever you can do, but do you have kind of those aspirations after college to keep chasing this dream at the next level, or what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I do want to train post-collegiately. I think I'm going to stay here in Vermilion another year at least to train with Derek and, you know, see what I can do. See if I can't make a Team USA one day and, you know, represent my country at a world championships or maybe even Olympics.
What do you think you have to do to reach that? What areas do you have to focus on getting better at?
I think kind of my mentality going into, I just kind of have to have like an all-in mentality. Like even if something in the run feels a little off, I just have to, you know, put my head down and run or just take it up and be consistent in doing that and doing the things that me and Derek have been working on in practice. Just doing those more consistently, I think.
You know, I think pole vault is fascinating. People look at it and they just see somebody jam a pole into the ground. They fly over a bar. And there's so much that goes into it, from your footwork on your running to your running speed to the placement of the pole to arm strength. All of that together, what do you think the biggest misconception is when people watch pole vault as far as just the sport in general and trying to complete a vault?
I think maybe not a misconception, but I think people underestimate how important speed is when it comes to the vault. Everybody always talks about core strength, and yes, you do need a lot of core strength. I won't underplay that, but when it comes to speed, being able to convert that speed through into the pole and use all that energy that you're building while you're running is incredibly important when it comes to being able to jump high.
This has been kind of become known, or people like to call it pole vault U. When you look around at the other vaulters that you're surrounded by, what do you see out of this group and the continued success that there is prospectively at USD?
We've got a lot of young guys that are looking really good right now. We've got two freshmen. One of them from Estonia who's jumped already like 17.8, I think. And another one who's jumped from Ohio. He's jumped 16 feet, but he's looking really good at some of those higher bungees. We jump at bungees in practice just so we don't have to put a bar up every time. But he's looking really good at those 16.6, 17-foot bungees. And, I mean, he's only been training with Derek for, like, 4 or 5 months. So I think give these guys a few more years to develop with Derek as their coach. It's just going to – I think that pole vault U legacy is in good hands.
Well, we look forward to that, and we look forward to seeing your season continue as well, Ethan. Thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. All the best.
Thank you very much.
That's Ethan Bright. He's a senior pole vaulter at USD. Okay, Yotes fans, let's bank some noise. First Dakota National Bank is here to help you reach all your financial goals. Bank some noise with First Dakota at firstdakota.com. Member FDIC. Volleyball gets its season underway this week, so let's talk volleyball. We bring in defensive specialist Lolo Weideman. She is a junior from Center Point, Iowa. Lolo, as you guys get ready for the start of a volleyball season coming up this weekend, where's your excitement level right now just knowing that finally you're going to get back onto the court and compete against somebody other than your own teammates in practice?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'm very excited. It's been a long time since we've played another team besides ourselves, so our whole team has a lot of excitement and some nerves, and I think we're just ready to get back on the court.
What have the last few months been like for you and your team as you have the volleyball season postponed, obviously, because of the pandemic and everything going on, and then finding out you get a spring season and learning that schedule? What have the last few months been like with this constant change?
I think it's taught my team a lot in general, mainly about patience, and we've learned a lot about our teammates and being able to be flexible and not really knowing necessarily if we would have a season or not, but figuring out that we would in the spring was definitely a positive for us. We were all really hoping that we would, and finding that out definitely brightened up our spirits. So,
you know, as someone who is obviously a part of the program and has been, like, you've gone through this before where you have a fall season and then you have spring season, but it's a lot different than what this spring will look like. What have you and your team or your coaches tried to do over the last several weeks to try to make this feel like it normally would in the fall as you get ready for a normal season?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say practices have been a little different just in the sense of trying to get used to the change, wearing our masks and everything. But I think our coaches have done a really good job of trying to make that seem like it is a normal thing. You know, masks are needed and they're necessary. And so it's just another part of our day. And they've done a good job of allowing us to still do some team activities, of course, with social distancing and everything. But they've really done a good job of just trying to make it seem as normal as it can be.
You know, I'm curious, as you bring up the mask thing, people have different thoughts on the whole mask deal, and you understand the importance of it, and you're practicing wearing a mask and some of that. How has that affected your ability on the floor competing kind of as an athlete versus just the regular person who may wear one to the store?
Yeah, the first couple weeks wearing a mask was definitely a lot harder than it is right now. It's definitely not as easy to breathe in, that's for sure, but it's just an adjustment, and I think it can be tough to understand that if you are just, you know, walking through the store. But when you're constantly moving around as an athlete and you're out of breath, it can be tough at times. But just knowing the importance of it, I think, makes it just as important. So
take me through last season. Obviously, it was a very special season for Coyote Volleyball, and the way that the Summit League season went and trying to get into the NCAA volleyball tournament, obviously disappointment there, but able to bring another volleyball tournament to USD and its fans and compete at a high level all the way to the championship game. When you look back at last season, what stands out the most to you?
I think the biggest thing, honestly, was being able to host at home and having all of our fans be there to support us was something that stood out a lot to me.
What was it like to go through that season? You know, obviously the target on your back as a very good team, and to go through that Summit League regular season without losing and just having that special season.
Yeah, I mean, being that target, you know, I think it just pushed us even more to never let up and to never, you know, slack on the court. And it was just a reminder that, you know, we had goals and we just wanted to be able to reach them. So
when you look around on the floor and you see, obviously, some of the players that you play with, I mean, there's some real stars in volleyball on this team. Did you ever imagine you would get that at the University of South Dakota?
Yeah, I did. I mean, this is a really special program, and we have a lot of great teammates, and, you know, everyone on our team works really hard every single day at practice. So I think it's well-deserved. So
when you look at your choice to come to USD, obviously when you were being recruited and all of that, what stood out? What led you to USD? What was that deciding factor that made you think this was the place that you could call home and be a part of something special?
Yeah, well, I'm originally from a small town, and so when I came on my visit, I really enjoyed seeing how close-knit the community was, and, you know, on campus, every building is close by, and overall, it just really felt like home, and once I met the coaches and the other players, you know, I just knew.
Sometimes you just get that feeling and things that are good. When you look at Coach Williamson and her staff, what do they bring? What should fans know about what they bring to the program and what they have done to help develop this into a very good volleyball program?
Yeah, I mean, each coach definitely brings something different to the program. And overall, all of them really care about how we are as an individual. You know, they care about us more as a person than a player, and I think that's something that really connects with each individual, and they just all around really, you know, like Leanne, she's our head coach, and you know, she's the leader of the program. And then we have Rundy, who can connect with us on a different personal level, and then, you know, Shelley as well. And so I think it's just being able to have those different personalities on the team really helps us be able to come out of our shell and, you know, be our own individual selves. So
I believe you're an athletic training major, correct?
I actually have switched to psychology. So
what led you to psychology?
I really like to learn about people and understanding, you know, how they think and why they might think that way. And I truly just felt like psychology would be a good fit for me. So
well, you said you came from a small town. You're from Iowa. Obviously, your family's not too far away. I've got to ask, Lolo's an interesting name. It's a unique name. Is that your actual name, or is it a nickname? And how did it come about?
Yes, Lolo actually is a nickname. My real name is Abigail. My mom used to call me Lolo Amiga when I was little because I was a crazy kid, and it means my crazy friend in Spanish. So she used to call me that when I was little, and it just stuck with my family. And then once I started playing club, there was already another teammate of mine who had the name Abby. And so it just started sticking through on there and has led me all the way to college with keeping the name Lolo. So
now you got to keep it forever. You know that. It's an awesome volleyball name, right?
Yeah, I do love it.
It just rolls off. It's just perfect. Lolo Weideman. It's just perfect name for volleyball. All right, Lolo, when you look at this team and you look at the season ahead, obviously you're getting ready for a new season. When you look at your group, what do you see out of this team and how special this season could be?
Yeah, I see a lot of potential with our team. Everyone has something to bring, and, you know, we all have the same goal, and we all just want to play to our best ability. So I think it'll be a great year.
What do you hope fans recognize about this group and your team that you have right now?
I think the biggest thing that I want fans to see is just that, you know, we love when they show up, and it really does bring up the energy in the gym. And with the certain circumstances, it might be a little different this year, but for those that are allowed to come, it really does boost our energy and it makes us play a lot better. So
you've seen some good crowds for volleyball here as well. Has that been special, seeing just how much people appreciate the sport and your team?
Yes, it really does mean the world to us. It kind of was shock at first, you know, when we got to see such big crowds. But then afterwards, it was like really inspiring just to know that this many people want to come watch us play. So,
yeah, well, success will do that, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But definitely hope we can get as many fans as possible in the building to watch you guys play this year. Lolo, thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. All the best this weekend as you open the season and throughout the course of the year as well.
Thank you so much.
That's Lolo Weideman. She is a defensive specialist on the volleyball team, a junior from Center Point, Iowa. Great stuff today on the show. Conversations with David Herbster, Ethan Bray, pole vaulter and volleyball player Lolo Weideman. As we take a look at upcoming things for USD, the volleyball team playing this weekend, opening up its season. And volleyball this week was picked number one in the preseason coaches poll in the Summit League. Not a surprise. South Dakota obviously is very good, coming off an unbeaten Summit League season. Had that historic run in their last season. Of course, the fall has been moved to the spring, so it feels like that was a long time ago. But their last real season that they had, that 31-3, just monster season that the Coyotes were able to, able to go through and just have that kind of success. It was absolutely incredible to see what they were able to do in their season, what they were able to bring. And we'll see, obviously, this is a volleyball team that is very high caliber, that has the ability to really do a lot of special things. And so I think we're all looking forward to that. Their season gets underway this week. They will play at Missouri State. They're playing on Friday, Wichita State on Saturday. They are playing Missouri State, those taking place in Springfield, Missouri. Then they'll play at Creighton on January 29th, and then host Creighton January 31st. That is a Sunday. Find out what you need to for ticket information. Get your season tickets to ensure your seat at that event. Again, that's volleyball against Creighton. It'll be the last non-conference game, January 31st. Plenty of time to get those tickets secured. Track and field has added three meets to their upcoming month as they prepare for the Summit League Championships, which will be in Brookings February 27th through the 28th. The Coyotes have added a two-day Bison Open event in North Dakota in Fargo, February 5th and 6th. Then South Dakota will head to Washburn Indoor Athletic Facility. They will play in Topeka, Kansas, compete in Topeka, Kansas, February 12th before a SDSU tune-up held Saturday, February 20th. So those are upcoming events that are new to the schedule for track and field. So if you're looking at keeping track, keeping track on how track and field is doing, keeping tabs on them. I don't know the best way to say that. Anyways, you're keeping tabs on what they are doing. Know that they have added meets because they are at home on Saturday this week, and that was their last scheduled event until Summit League Championships. So they've been able to add some of that. Track and field, the Dakota Realty Invitational is on Saturday. Events get underway at 10 a.m. Also on the schedule this week for Coyote Athletics on Saturday, swimming and diving. The men head to St. Cloud State. It's a 1 o'clock in the afternoon start time that gets underway. Tennis is scheduled to play Iowa State in Des Moines. That is on Friday. And, of course, basketball will play on Friday and Saturday at Western Illinois for more Summit League basketball. So that's what's coming up in Coyote Athletics. That is going to wrap it up for us today. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen. If you have any thoughts on guests or storylines that you want to hear more about, certainly hit me up on social media, or you can send us an email, yotecast@usd.edu, and we will get to all of that stuff as we get through here over the next month. Oh, by the way, football practice officially underway. The Coyotes preparing for their season opener, which is still planned for that weekend of February 19th, 20th, and 21st. So stay tuned for a new schedule. Hopefully we have that very, very soon. Maybe by the time you're listening to this, maybe you have that schedule. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks so much for your time. I'm John Thayer. We'll do it again next time. And until then, stay safe and go Yotes!